Hello, this is Michael Howe from Appalachian State University. It's May 1st, 2010, and I'm at the Hendersonville Public Library with Virginia. And Virginia, if you wouldn't mind sort of introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, if you're from North Carolina, from some other place but have ended up here, maybe your age, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. My name is Virginia. I grew up in the Army, so I traveled around a lot. I ended up in North Carolina for college and never left the state. I'm 57.
Okay.
I ended up in Western North Carolina because I used to do a lot of hiking in my younger days, and I needed to be closer to the trailheads than 7 hours away. So that's how I ended up in the Appalachians of North Carolina.
Wow. Which college?
Wake Forest undergraduate, UNC Chapel Hill graduate.
Okay. All right. So you're closer down to my end of North Carolina from where I come from. I guess I would sort of start by asking you, how did you sort of come to understand about your own gender, sexuality?
Well, when I was 26, I was working in restaurants in graduate school and stuff, and I met a woman at the restaurant who owned it who I thought, my goodness, she is really hot, and I am really attracted to her, and isn't that interesting? Because I had not knowingly been attracted to women before that, but it was like a penny dropped. And I had had relationships with men and enjoyed them. And I'd always had good female friends, but no gay female friends. I had a lot of gay guy friends since I was in college. But when I met Cheryl, it was like, whoa! Mm-hmm. And I knew what I was feeling, and it was for a woman, and so that was sort of okay. It didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm.
It just made some things a little more clear to me.
Wow. So coming up in the Army, did you hear particular messages about sexuality coming up in that kind of environment, or?
No, and my parents were, they were 35 when I was adopted. So they were, you just didn't really talk about those things or anything. It was a rigid growing up. I mean, things were right or wrong, and you did it this way or that way. And I was always more into sort of seeing both sides of an issue, but not necessarily voicing that around the house because there was no point. I mean, they believed what they believed. We're talking politically or whatever, or etiquettely or...
Mm-hmm.
So I was pretty much a really good toe-the-line kid till I was about 18 when I left for college, and my parents went overseas for 2 years. And those first 2 years of college, I was a hippie. I had a long skirt, denim skirt. This is 71, you know.
Okay, uh-huh.
Didn't shave legs, all that stuff, you know. And then when they came back, I was this different person, and that caused some stress for a good long time, but I wasn't, I never revealed my sexuality to them, although my mother finally came to understand. But I would have two lives. I would have my life, and then when I would go home, I would be as much to their standards as I could be and be true to myself. So I shut up a lot, you know, and I just didn't want to make waves with them. They had, pretty soon after, in the mid-70s to late 70s, they pretty much disowned my brother for reasons that are really too complicated to go into, but I didn't want them to not have any children, and I did not want me to not have a parent. And I saw that they could do that. They could say, you've crossed the line. We cannot deal with this anymore. And I just wasn't willing for that to happen. So So it was a very dual life there as far as family was concerned.
And this is even pre-realizing this about yourself.
Pre-sexuality, yeah.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah. How did it go after you realized?
I was already in the mode of hiding my personal life, so mm-hmm. it was just another aspect of the personal life that wouldn't come up. Mm-hmm. Now, Beth and I have been together 14 years.
Wow.
And when she became a person in my life, I would talk about her a lot. We traveled a lot. And Mom, kind of after, my parents died 3 years ago. So several years into the relationship with Beth, she was aware that there was this very important person in my life. And I'm positive by the end there she knew the relationship and seemed fine with it, but we couldn't talk about it because my father couldn't know about it. But she wanted to meet Beth and all this stuff. And she was always asking about her. And, I mean, you have a 40-some-year-old daughter who's never been married and all of a sudden has a really good friend who you talk about all the time because you're always doing things together because you're living together. Mm-hmm. You know, she was not a dumb woman. So, yeah, but that was just that Southern Magnolia etiquette. We don't talk about things that are going to make us uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. What was the impact of that on your life and on your life with a partner? Did that make things difficult or?
Beth is probably one of the most loving and understanding people you will ever meet in your entire life. And she, of course, she had her secret that she hid for years from herself. So she understood. She understood my need to respect my parents and and then my personal life, there was like with our friends and stuff, there's the open, they're friends, you know, everybody knows everything. Then when you get to my work life, there are some people who know and have met Beth and like her and all this stuff. And there's other people whom I've never told, but I assume at work when one person knows, other people know after a period of time. So I'm sort of closeted at work. I've not officially come out to anybody. It's none of their business. I mean, I don't go around saying, oh, I'm a gay person and my partner's transgender. If it were to come up and I'd be asked, I would be honest. But I kind of hope that doesn't happen. I only have another year or two at work. And I just assume that not become an issue. The only time I came out on that was when Beth, we went to Brussels for her surgery in 2000. And so I went to my director and, you know, shut the door and said, I've got to be gone for 2 weeks. You don't know this, but I have a partner and she's a preoperative at that point, male to female, transgender person, and we're going to have her surgery and I need to go and I want to take medical leave. I want to take my medical leave that married people can take when their people are sick. And she was pretty well flabbergasted and somewhat sympathetic, but basically she said, there's no way in hell the county's going to let you do that, so you'll need to take your vacation time and not sick leave time. And I said, well, that's what I figured, but I needed to ask because at that point, we'd been together only maybe 4 or 5 years. But, I mean, we were a couple. And I said, you know, if anybody else had medical problems with their spouses, you would let me have sick leave. But that's Haywood County. And I mean, I knew it. But I felt strongly enough to ask.
Wow.
So I think I've rambled. I'm not sure
you haven't rambled at all. But you sort of moved me to another question now. How did you meet your partner? This is a different dynamic for...
Okay. Beth and I met. I was a buddy with WinCap. They don't do buddies much anymore, but for a long time, that was my thing. Time out on that. I got involved with WinCap and the buddies because when I moved here in 81, there were tremendous amounts of fag jokes and AIDS jokes and stuff at work, and I just would make them stop, and it just drove me insane when I was very angry because I had moved from Durham where I had already started losing friends. So I got involved in WinCap out of anger, and I was a buddy until they quit having them. I think my last buddy was about 6 years ago.
Explain what a buddy does.
A buddy is, okay, you get involved with a person who is who has AIDS and is near the end of that process, and once a week you would get with him. It was always a gay guy for me, and well, it wasn't. I had some near the end some black female drug addict people, and that was a whole different dynamic. It was still sympathy, but I mean it was a different dynamic altogether. But anyway, so you would get with the guys and you'd spend one day a week with them or one evening a week helping them out and being friends, being buddies, and being there for them. And sometimes you'd get to be there when they died, and sometimes that didn't work out, but it's very intense. Some of those relationships only lasted a couple months because at the early days, guys were dying really fast. My last buddy, I had him for 6 years, every Wednesday for 6 years, unless I was out of town or something. And I remember one of the buddy meetings, I was saying, my God, I didn't know I'd sign up for this for the rest of my life, which was that was long. That was real long. But it was a very needful thing for me to do and for my buddies to have. So that was still in the active buddy stuff. And it was Christmas, and there was a Christmas party at Grove Street, which was the gay restaurant in Asheville at the time. And so I was presenting with a friend of mine at the workshop for buddy training, and then afterwards we went to the Christmas party. And so there's lots of people and not a lot of places to sit. So Adele and I are sitting, because I can't have cocktail in one hand and food in the other and stand and do anything with it. So we grabbed a table. And I guess it was three transgender people came up and wanted to ask if they could share the table. So that was fine. Well, and Beth sat next to me. And Beth, she was early in transition, hadn't started hormones or anything. I didn't know these were transgender people so much as I thought that they were some gay guys in really bad drag. I mean, really bad drag, and I was, but it never, so they were sitting there talking, and I just liked Beth immediately, and she was talking about that she was a preoperative male-to-female transsexual, and I knew all those terms because I'd read Jan Morris's biographies and all that stuff, and I knew the terms, but I was still wondering why I was being attracted to this gay guy in bad drag. So she's all the, and then the last identifier was lesbian. So I thought, oh, okay, there's something here I can work with, you know? But it was an immediate attraction. She's just a wonderful person. For 2 weeks, now I had not been in a relationship at that point for almost 10 years, and I was totally comfortable with it. I mean, by 10 years, you get used, you know, I was totally comfortable with it. I had my life, I had my friends, I didn't miss having a personal relationship emotionally, or because I had my friends for that, but I built up these walls for protection because, hey, you know, I'd been hurt, wasn't going to happen again. happy the way I was. So for 2 weeks, I was all, I'd go to the bars and meet friends and, you know, and I'd go, man, I'm in this dilemma, and it wasn't because of her being transgendered. It was because, did I want to let somebody else in? Mm-hmm. That was, it was just odd to me that, well, I didn't have a problem when I realized I was attracted to women. I mean, it was like, oh, okay. And I didn't have a problem when I was attracted to preoperative transsexual, but it's kind of amazing that I didn't. Mm-hmm. And there wouldn't have been any other. It was Beth. It was Beth. And if that's who Beth was, then that's what it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've met other with the Phoenix group and gone to some meetings and all, and there's not been one other person at those meetings that I have ever found physically, sexually, mm-hmm. spiritually attractive, not a one. Mm-hmm.
So the chemistry was just there.
It was from day, from moment one. Mm-hmm. We went out to smoke that, and it was windy and snow blowing around, not falling. But, and so I was had, was trying to be a windscreen for mm-hmm. Beth lighting a cigarette, and so she was, my arms were, she was in front of me, my arms were around trying to be, mm-hmm. not touching, and I just wanted to hug this mm-hmm. person whom I had just met like an hour ago. I was like, what's going on? It was so odd, and it was so normal at the same time.
Hmm. So how did that relationship to progress to becoming partners?
Well, the other woman who was with me at that table was attracted to somebody, one of the transgender. He ended up, he's just a cross-dresser. But anyway, they were attracted. So I'm calling Adele the next day, going, "Oh, when is, you know, I got excited. You're excited, all this stuff." And she had to put me on hold because the phone rang, and it was Frank who was calling her. And so she got with me, and I said, "Well, ask him if he thinks I can call Beth because I want to pursue this, but I don't want to call her out of the blue." So. Evidently, after that phone call, he called Beth, and Adele called me back and said, "Oh, yes, she wants you to call her." So I was the pursuer in that one, which was not my style. And the first time I called up for actual date, I lived up on the top of the mountain in Haywood County, and it was snowing pretty hard before I was supposed to go in and pick her up and go to a movie. And my landlord, who also lived on the property, he's from Minnesota, he could always tell the snow what was good snow, mm-hmm. what was bad snow, what was going to be heavy snow and all. So I said, "I'm supposed to go to Asheville tonight." And he said, "No, don't do it." He said, "No." So I had to call Beth and cancel like an hour before I'm picking her up. And I knew what she was going to think, that I was backing out. Mm. So I called her and said, "Is it snowing there?" And she said, "No." I said, "Oh, well, it's snowing here, and I live on a mountain, and it's going to be too dangerous coming back, and I'm going to have to, you know, back out tonight." And she's going, "Oh, okay, I understand. That's fine." And I thought, "Shit." And now, Beth's from Eastern North Carolina. She hates snow. She called me about a half hour after I called her, and it's the only time in her whole life she said, "It's snowing." So she knew I wasn't lying. But, I mean, and so we just got together. We just started doing things and having a relationship. And she'd spend the weekends up at the house, and because she was renting a dump apartment and all. And so we were together about a year. And I started looking to buy a house. I would have on my own anyway, mm-hmm. And then when I bought the house, we started living together, mm-hmm. and that was, we'll have been together 14 years this December, and I guess it was a year and a half before I bought the house, so.
Wow. Well, now, so you were in a situation of having lots of friends and a strong social network, from mm-hmm. what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
hear you saying. And mainly lesbian friends?
No, mainly gay guy friends.
Okay, all right.
I haven't totally always gotten along with lesbians.
Okay.
Which sounds strange. I'm better now that I'm part of a couple. I have more lesbian friends. But when I came out to myself in Chapel Hill, the lesbian community at that time, which would have been 77 or thereabouts, was very separatist. And I, you know, tried to kind of get involved, but politically I just could not do that. I mean, I didn't lie. I had long hair. You're not supposed to have long hair if you're a lesbian. You know, you can't like men. You can't, you know, if you ever had sex with them, it had to be horrible. and very in your face with it. And so I thought, well, okay, the lesbian community is not my community. Which I carried over for a long time. And when I moved to Asheville, so I would meet women at work or however straight people meet people, you know, but as far as being part of the lesbian community, I was not very comfortable with that after I gave it a shot. And then when I moved to Asheville, which would have been in about 82, it wasn't political like that so much, but it was, the lesbian community was very, my experience was very closed to outsiders coming in. I think if that person was single, I couldn't meet couples because one of them or other would be worried about things. You know, I just wanted some women and gay friends. But that didn't work out so much either, really, to tell you the truth. And I've been in the gay community with guys since I was about 17 or 18. So that's where all my gay friends are guys. Now that I'm part of a couple, and Beth just charms, I mean, she just, you meet her, you love her. So we have, I have one lesbian couple friend who live here in Hendersonville who I met Nancy when I was in graduate school. And then I met her partner after that, you know. So that's my lesbian couple friend that are my friends that have always been my lesbian couple friends. But everybody else I've met has been since Beth. Or else I knew of them through WinCap or Loving Foods, but nobody liked me so much until I was a couple, or the women, you know, they weren't comfortable with me, they didn't want to socialize with me, they didn't think to ask me out, I mean, over for dinner, until I became a couple. And then once I became a couple, then everything was fine. Go figure.
I know, I don't understand that.
I don't either. And I'm saying since, because of Beth, and it might not have been just Beth. It might just have been the couple aspect. But I have not found Asheville to be a very welcoming lesbian community for, unless you're already here and part of it. Well, how can you be part of it if you're not?
Hard to break into it, too.
Yeah.
Well, where I was going with that when I started, you had your group of friends. Did they have any difficulties with you dating someone who's transgendered? Someone
almost invariably everybody had some concerns, and until they met her, they weren't sure they were going to like her at all. But to a person, there was never a problem once they met her and started talking with her. But the concept was disturbing, I think, some degrees. In fact, my Nancy here from Hendersonville, she was very reluctant to meet Beth. But again, once I had her and her partner over and they met Beth, it was like...
Is there something unique or difficult about navigating a relationship with someone who is transgender, and especially someone who's preoperative transgender?
It wasn't difficult for me. The early sexual stuff was really bizarre. I mean,
but that's a test of your lesbianism right there, isn't it?
but then I already knew about that appendage. Well, and the thing is, she hated it, so we didn't really use it. Hmm. And she was married. And when she realized what was going on, you know, her then wife just couldn't deal with it at all. But I don't understand that because, well, they didn't have a great relationship. Beth was also an alcoholic. It would have been difficult living with Beth as an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So their relationship wasn't so hot. Which is probably why Janie didn't care to work through any of that, because they already had a bad relationship. But see, I don't understand why there would be a problem if you love the person. This is what you're dealing with. I mean, this is... But it's, you know, it's weird and strange, perhaps, but... It's not difficult because you're working on this together. Hmm. It wasn't a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right. I'm sure that it could be.
I mean, like, it was a problem for in her past relationship, and which I mean, you marry somebody, and then all of a sudden later you find this out. But still, and again, but then all the books I've read about. Even good marriages sometimes don't work out after that. So,
well, okay, so then there is the surgery, and you managed to get time to go, and you had to go to Brussels.
We went to Brussels.
Okay.
It was.
Is that because of the year when it happened? Was it just not being done here?
Or? It was being done here, but the cost was almost half. I mean, flying there. Having a hotel room and a surgery, all of that was about half of what it had been had we done something in the United States.
Wow.
And she did in Canada, she was looking in Canada. She did all the research. And I mean, she just, Dr. Ruger, whatever his name is, something like that, had done the most and she was most comfortable with. But cost was a definite thing. I mean, we could have gone to Thailand but for even cheaper, but it doesn't have such a good reputation as he has. So.
Okay. I'm assuming that's costly.
Yeah.
Even?
Everything, it wasn't, it's costly. Our whole thing was $12,000.
Okay.
His cost, I think, was about $6,000.
Okay.
And at that time, surgery was like $21,000 in the United States.
Okay, all right.
And I'm not sure why we didn't do Canada. You'd have to ask Beth. Yeah.
That's not a small chunk of change, no matter what. Right. So you went to Brussels, and the surgery went well.
Yeah.
How did that change things afterwards, if it did?
It changed Beth because she could relax. It didn't change our dynamics. It helped me, though, quit using the male pronoun, which I tried. It's funny because I never thought of Beth as male. But obviously, she presented that way. I mean, she's 6'3", mm-hmm. She's got the Adam's apple. Mm-hmm. She had She also has had some face plastic surgery since then. But I mean, she did. Mm-hmm. She was 50 when she transitioned, and so like if you, these kids who are, know about it and do it and are aware, and they're in their teens or their early 20s, you know, they can pass. That's not gonna. I don't think Beth will ever pass. Although I think that, I mean, I don't even think about it. I don't see it on, our friends don't see it, but you can, when you go out in public with her in places, you can see people kind of trying to figure out what's going on. I say, well, yeah, she's 6'3". How many women are 6'3"? And some days you look better than others. Mm-hmm. We all do. But I think, you know, she's never going to be this little petite person that passes. Mm-hmm. But so it was, I never thought of her as a male, but I would use the male pronoun when I wasn't thinking, because it, and everybody did. I mean, you had to really work hard to get the female pronoun. And every now and again, I would slip, and it would be like, oh my God, I want to just cut my tongue out, because it kills her, you know. But after the surgery and the hormones had kicked in and all that stuff, I have caught myself even all these years later talking about Beth to someone, and every now and again the he's comes out, and I do not know why. When we're with her mother, bless her heart, well, she's 96. She's done really, really well with it. And there was a period there where she got the pronouns right, but that time's gone. I mean, she's 96. She had a son for 50 years, and she'll use Beth and everything, but the pronouns. So we go visit her mom once a month, and it's always he and she, and I'm always going. She'll say, "Well, how's Beth doing? Is he doing well?" And I'll go, "She's doing fine." You know, so you got that, but that's an understandable thing. But the surgery itself didn't affect our relationship, except, like I said, she got way more comfortable with herself. So, and it's hard when your partner's not comfortable. You know, you want to fix things and make it better. So, I guess there was a little bit of easing off of tensions, but not tensions between us, just tensions of the situation. So.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really an interesting experience. I just can't even imagine.
Well, nor could I have, because I remember that 2 weeks I was walking around going, "Oh, geez, what's going on?" You know, if you had told me the night before I met Beth that I would become involved with a preoperative male to female transsexual, I would go, "Yeah, right." You know, I mean, I don't think so. But there you go.
Wow. That's something. And did your mom know that about Beth?
No, when we went to Brussels, I just said, it's my mom. My mom had had some face surgery. She'd been in a horrible automobile accident before I came along, and had plastic surgery that wasn't, it was fine for her face, but her eyes, it wasn't good back in the 50s, and she never had more. So I said that Beth, we were going to Brussels for some surgery that Beth needed on her face, and which was a lie, but it, Mom totally understood all about that, you know. But she never knew the transgendered stuff. All she knew was that I was involved with a woman. I just didn't see any point. I mean, if I wasn't going to come out the one way, I was certainly going to say, "Oh, by the way, how do you feel about transgender people?"
That's a big and. And. So. Okay, all right. So you actually live outside of Asheville.
Yes.
Is that right?
We live in Haywood County.
Haywood County, okay. Compared to Asheville, what... is Haywood as open as the stereotype, at least about Asheville, or not, do you think, in terms of...
No, Haywood County is not open. Now, of course, we're not going into individuals because there's always individuals that are broad-minded, but as a community, I would not have survived in Haywood County had I not had Asheville to get to. Mm. And that was even before Beth. I mean, I had a job offer in Berthie, which thank God I didn't take, because where the hell would you go? Atlanta, maybe, or something. Mm. So, you know, moved to Haywood County in 82 and didn't meet Beth till 96. Mm. And so, Asheville was just a haven, and not necessarily for the sexuality part, but just for the alternative viewpoint. Mm-hmm. And I would go into Grove Street, where it was Cahoots at the time, when which was, again, the gay restaurant, which isn't there anymore. I wouldn't know people. I'd just go into the bar and have a drink and listen to the gay people and be mm-hmm. around family and then go home. I mean, that'd be mm-hmm. fine, you know. Had I not, or go into Malaprop's, or is that independent bookstore, okay. you know. Mm-hmm. But Haywood County is, they didn't turn blue in the election.
Is there a reason that you live in Haywood?
That's where the job. I mean, the job was with Haywood County Library.
Okay.
And you have to live in the county.
Oh, you have to live in the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Asheville was actually how close?
Between 20 and 30 miles, okay. depending mm-hmm. on where in Asheville you're going and gotcha. Where I lived at the time, because Haywood is a pretty big county. But I've always lived. I think I've lived in three different places since I've been there, and I always lived on the eastern side.
Okay.
And I would always, well, for two first 2 years, I lived in a sort of neighborhood. Mm-hmm. But then when I could find, I've always lived out where you can't see neighbors, mm-hmm. you know, and been able to just fade away or blend in or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said that you'll be retiring mm-hmm. within just a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Will you all stay in Haywood, or do you have plans of leaving?
Well, I love the mountains, mm-hmm. and and Beth hates the winters, and this past winter was, even I hated it.
Mm-hmm. It's a hard winter awful. Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to envision living somewhere else. Not just in the mountains. It's hard for me to envision not living in the Appalachian Mountains. I really, really love it. I also hate living in neighborhoods and stuff. We could live in downtown Asheville and Beth would be happy as a clam, you know. And maybe I could too. We couldn't mm-hmm. afford it, you know. But mm-hmm. That moving elsewhere is not out of the question. We haven't talked about it, and I think that moving every 2 years when I was growing up, even though that was less time than now, I've lived in Haywood County for 28 years. I only moved around every 2 years for 18 years, but that was, of course, during your formative years, so I don't like moving.
Mm-hmm. You've almost been there long enough to claim that you're from there.
Well, I thought that when I first moved there, there was this patron who had been there 25 years, and we were talking one time, and she said, you know, I'm still not considered from around here. And I mm-hmm. thought, my God, you've been here 25 years? So I've been there 28 years, and you're not from around here unless you're, you know, you've got to have probably at least three generations. Then you might be from around there.
I think you mentioned that you had a pretty positive experience in this area, and the study itself the collection is not necessarily about discrimination, but are you aware of that being an issue in this area for people?
No, But I know that we all fear it. Mm. And so I'm talking about my circle of friends. Nobody is... I am a political gay woman, but I choose not to live that way in my personal life where I live. Mm-hmm. You know, I... Except, I mean, I would do WinCap and Loving Foods.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is Loving Foods?
Loving Foods is a food bank for HIV positive people.
Okay.
And it's in Asheville, and it's at Kenilworth Presbyterian Church. And what I do is two Saturdays a month, I drive people home because they'll get there on public transport.
Okay.
But they got the these stuff. Boxes, mm-hmm. you know. So, and, but anyway, I guess I'm just not with, I'm not friends with anybody who's in your face, you know, we're here, we're queer, mm-hmm. which I totally agree with, and in my younger days did, but, or would have done, well, I did, but it just, when you're in Chapel Hill and doing it, it's no big deal, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But we're all older and more conservative, and we live in rural North Carolina, and we don't need to make more waves than we have. Of my friends, everybody who knows, even the straight friends of my friends know that, you know. And I think some of them are like me at work. People know. I mean, maybe not officially, because we never come out and say it, but, you know, you talk about your partner all the time, and people are going to figure things out. But I haven't, except for not being able to take family leave time, I've not felt the discrimination. And when Beth was doing her year of when you transgender, you got a year of things you got to do. You got to live as the other sex. You got to get your name changed. Well, interestingly enough, she couldn't get her name changed in Asheville because the clerk of court refused to do that.
Wow.
For any, not just Beth, any trans, he would not change a name from one gender to another. So we got our name changed in Hayward County.
Wow. Sort of a surprise.
It was a huge surprise, huh. You know? It was like, well, okay, fine, you know?
Wow. That leads me to another question. The Loving Foods, you said that's part of a church? Or it's
well, it's at Kenilworth Presbyterian Church, but it's, I mean, there's, that's, every weekend a different church sort of, you know, mans the food bank. And, well, for years and years and years, there were only two drivers, and we both came from WinCap, basically. Because a lot of people they wouldn't want to drive them home, you know, letting them have food's one thing, but driving them home. There are more drivers now, and each week a different church runs it. Mm-hmm. But I'm like unaffiliated. I'm not there with the church. Okay. I'm there to drive people home, you know.
That's what I was going to actually ask you, if you're connected with some kind of religious or spiritual group.
No, I was raised Episcopalian, but I've actually gotten away from church going, except for when you had to for the family, by the time I went to college. And there's just too much hypocrisy in most organized religion. And I know a lot of different individual churches are getting away from it, but I feel like I've been burned by organized religion enough that I don't need that, and I am a very spiritual person. But my God, I find on the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. That's when, you know, I'm nature. I think being a good person is pretty good enough. And this is even before the gay issue and all, but when I came to North Carolina and started meeting Baptists, and one of my best friends is a Baptist, and she considers herself a moderate. I said, well, honey, you're so liberal Baptist, which may be moderate in the rest of the world, only this way, you can only do it this way. You know, if you're a Hindu or a Jew, you're going to hell. I never understood that in the Episcopal Church when I was growing up in it. I never got that feeling. I just had trouble with things. You know, I think I was around 10 when I quit being into organized religion because I always had trouble with the Immaculate Conception. It was like, you've been lying to me, Mike. There's no way this lady had this baby, you know, this way. I didn't understand myth or parables or whatever, you know. And then all of a sudden, you mean the Red Sea didn't part? You know, it's like, you know. So, and I never got a good enough Sunday school teacher to help me with that. So it started there, but I don't remember in the Episcopal Catechism and stuff any of this. Our way or the highway business. I remember when I went to Wake Forest and was talking to people in the dorm room, and most of them were Baptists, and I'd be like, you mean you have trouble with Methodists being able to go to heaven? Yeah. But you're all Protestants. You know, doesn't that mean something? No, I don't go to a church.
Okay. Are you all involved in any kind of organized groups, activities?
Not unless it's Wind Camp or Living Foods oriented. No, Beth has her AA stuff, which, some of the transgender, she'll go to Phoenix every now and again. But we're not, you know, we have our friends, but we're not. We don't do groups. She would. I mean, she's so social. But no organized activities, unless they're politically oriented. Mm-hmm. You know.
Right. Okay. All right. So how do you think that, at least compared to the rest of North Carolina, how do you think it's similar or different to live in this area as an LGBT person?
How similar is it to the rest of the state?
Yeah. Is it different in your experience or your impression? Is it different than you think it is at other places, or more similar, really? Or
I think that the closer that you are to a major city, of which I would say Asheville, Charlotte, Chapel Hill, Durham, the Triangle, the easier it is. Because we vacationed some on the eastern side. That seems even more of a wasteland than Appalachia does to me. There's just nothing, you know, you're like, when I try to travel, I'll try to look for gay stores or gay restaurants. Okay. And I'm too old to do the bars. I can't stay up till 2 when it starts or whatever. And every now and again, you'll find a gay B&B, but it's not gay run usually. It's gay friendly. And Asheville used to have a gay restaurant. Didn't have a gay restaurant anymore. When we go to Charlotte, I like to try, you know, there's... it's more accepting. But of course, when you're traveling, you don't get the whole deal, and you've got the travel guide or go on the internet and find it in some of these places throughout. But at least when you're in the bigger cities, you know it's there, you know people aren't staring at you, you know. But I would say that the western and the eastern part of the state are pretty much... the Sahara, as far as it goes. But I think also I found in Hewitt, every community will have its gay folks that are from there that they know and love. And Denny's not gay. He's just Denny, you know. Mm-hmm. But then there's somebody else. Some male flamer comes in and is in the grocery store or whatever. Everybody's mm-hmm. cool because they don't know him. I think that certainly was true in Haywood County when I first moved there, and I still think it. I still know it is. But having lived in the Piedmont, I didn't. It was an eye opener moving to Western North Carolina. It really was. So
in Haywood County, especially, I'm assuming that you and Beth go out and do things as a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Does that in itself just sort of provoke a response? Is it two women doing something?
Not two women doing it, but. But sometimes Beth, it's just funny to me. Sometimes Beth gets looks, and sometimes she doesn't, and then sometimes she sees them, and I don't. But there's nothing. It's not an uncomfortableness that she won't really go to the grocery store in Haywood County. She'll go in Asheville, but then I'm the grocery shopper, so it doesn't matter. We go out to eat as a couple quite a lot, and there's really no problems. So,
Well, I've asked you a lot of questions and sort of moved things along. What would you like to talk about? What else would you like to say about your story, yourself, your experiences?
I feel like I've covered it.
Do you?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I could answer more questions, but I don't feel like I can. Because I wanted to talk about the library not letting me have family leave, and I feel like I've pretty well represented myself. But
do you think that'll change? The issues like the family leave or for county government, domestic partnerships, anything
not
like that?
Not my lifetime.
Is that right? It's pretty staunchly.
Yeah. I mean, Nashville's working on it, but Haywood, no.
Does that even get much political coverage? Or is that even an issue on the radar in this county at all?
No. I mean, my county is so concerned about prayer at the commissioners' meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where they're worried about. I can't even conceive the issue coming up. And were it to come up, there's just no way in hell it would pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it would almost rock the boat to ask that, because the minimal public acceptance that you've got would be totally erased, and all the stuff that people hide. Because, they know this gay person and that gay person's okay, or they hide it because of my mom's, you know, we don't talk about things that are uncomfortable. It would just, all the worms would come up. Mm-hmm. Is my feeling. Mm-hmm. There's just no point in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me mad. But again, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, I've worked all these times with young mothers who get time off when their kids are sick or this, that, and the other, and working flexible schedules and all this, and I'm going, well, you know, it's not fair. And I have talked, you know, I've got a small staff, and they both know Beth and Mike, and, you know, they understand this, but on an individual basis is different than on a policy basis, and now I don't even know why I should pay school taxes, to tell you the truth, but I do.
Did you run into any difficulty buying a house? Did you buy a house together?
I used a gay realtor.
Okay, all right.
Who I knew from God, I don't even remember where I met her first. She was hostess at a restaurant in Haywood County, and then she went into real estate. And the thing, see, she's a gay woman, and she's from Haywood County. She has had a partner longer than Beth and I have been together, and people at her work all know about Susie and everything, and she's sort of like, you know, well, I'm not going to let it bother me, I'm fine with it. But she, again, she's not out in her, in people's faces saying, you know, I'm gay, and I demand these rights. The only way it's going to change in rural America is for it to change federally. It's the only way. And that's, you know, we could go get married somewhere, but when we came back, we wouldn't be married here. I mean, what's the point? The federal's where it's going to change. I mean, I understand state. It's good that it's changing in some states. It's wonderful, and I'm not saying it's not. And maybe it's got to do some of that before the feds get in on it or not. I don't know. But as far as rural America that I see and live in, it's not going to come from within. And it's just, it's maddening. And but that's just the way it is, and you got to deal with it. Now, on the other hand, you know, we've done the wills and all that stuff, so that, you know, that by God, better not let us not be in the hospital with each other, because we've got the power of attorney and health care rights and all that stuff. So I mean, we've done everything we could to be allowed to be a couple, but I can guarantee you, if something like that happened, if she were in the hospital and they said, "Oh, this isn't good," then I'd be in my face about it. Because maybe naively, I think I've taken care of it. So, and I believe in activism, and I ACT UP was one of my favorite groups in the world, and we'll have these conversations about how, oh, you can't be in your face. I say, yeah, you can be in your face, and I want to be in your face. It's just I can't for this life I'm living now. But if you don't have the in-your-face people, then you're not going to get change at all. So forget it. You know, you got to have people.
So living where you live and in this kind of environment, how do you express your desire for activism? How does that come out?
I give money to a lot of groups, and I do feel like I put my mouth where my feeling actions are, where my mouth is, or whatever, with doing WinCap and Lemon Foods. And when I first got involved with WinCap, I made sure everybody knew what I was doing and what it was, because I wanted them to quit doing that talking when I was around. And I felt like that was a pretty political action. And I feel like driving Love and Foods is my political action. And going to the AIDS auction and going to Dining Out for Life and signing petitions and all. But, and when they've had the, when they have had Gay Pride in Asheville, two if not three times, and I've always gone. And if asked about politics, I answer the questions. I haven't been asked personally, and I can't, if I'm asked at the library, I can't, you know, politically, I mean, no, you can't espouse your political beliefs at the library one way or the other, but I can, I've always, when someone comes in who's, you know, wanting Rush Limbaugh's latest book, and asking me how I feel about it, you know, I can say, well, I don't really agree with the man, you know, what else can I say at work, at a public servant, you know. Now, if they were to ask me in the grocery store, I probably should still be circumspect, but I probably wouldn't be as circumspect. But.
Well, now that your work with WinCap, I think, is an interesting thing. That's out of Asheville and in some of these other rural communities, mm-hmm. right? Okay. And it's a prevention and care service?
It's normal. It's big thing is prevention. Okay. And care, too. But they... definitely. I'm sorry. I don't even know why I'm saying that. Yeah, prevention and care and education. And some of my buddies were in Haywood County.
Okay. What's the reaction to HIV and AIDS in this area? And has that changed any over time?
No, it hasn't changed. It's very negative. I haven't had a buddy for 6 years. But I can't say that I have seen no reason to think that it would have changed in that amount of time. But these guys, they'd go get tested in another county. They wouldn't get tested in Haywood County, you know. Because it's anonymous, it's supposed to be, you know, your cousin probably works at the health department or somebody knows your cousin and says, oh, I saw so-and-so come in for an HIV test, you know. Word gets out. I've known of cases where that happened. And one of my buddies, when he actually developed AIDS, you know, he had HIV, but when he developed AIDS and had his first crisis, his doctor, Haywood County doctor, dropped him because he didn't know what to do. He wasn't educated in that. And I said, well, aren't you a doctor? Aren't you supposed to educate yourself on that? You know, he dropped them. And so he had to come in to Asheville for doctor and hospital care.
Wow. And was Asheville pretty responsive? Did they develop the expertise pretty quickly to be able to serve people?
Yes, yeah. And then it's in... And WinCap is a wonderful, it's a referral service. It works with the doctors. It helps them with money if they can. It's a wonderful service. Of course, you know, funds are getting cut right and left, which is why the fundraisers are so important. And I don't know, Thursday was one. And there was only one restaurant in Haywood County that had dinner. There are three restaurants that participated. One was a breakfast place, and one was breakfast and lunch, and then there was one dinner place. And last year, the same restaurant did it, and we went, it was packed.
Wow.
And this year we went, and there were like four tables. I think WinCap dropped the ball. I don't think they did very much advertising this time.
So at least there's some, for lack of a better word, at least sympathy for the issue.
Of course, I don't know why Joey's Pancake House is involved. They always have been, and that's in Maggie Valley, and it's a mom-and-pop place. But there's probably some personal thing there. Stone Inn is gay-run and owned, so they're going to participate.
What was it?
The Old Stone.
Old Stone Inn. Okay.
And then Panacea is sort of the hippie haven, so, And there have been other restaurants that have participated in other years that haven't been participating recently. All they have to do is give 20% of their profit for one day's intake. But Dining for Life for the AIDS thing was the first of that kind of fundraiser that I knew of was for AIDS. And now... a lot of other organizations do it too. I've noticed that in the last 5 or 6 years, other charities have done it, which is a great idea, but then maybe some of these other places would rather be seen doing breast cancer or animal welfare or whatever, and you can't do everything.
A lot of causes.
You know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that might be part of it, is our idea was stolen.
It might have been. Okay. Virginia, I really think that that I've asked all the questions Good. I can think of.
That's fine.
And I appreciate,
I appreciate you
talking with us.
Well, good.
So thank you. I think this is will make a great contribution to our
collection. I hope so. It'll be interesting. And then we'll get to see our transcript. Do
yes.
we see the finished result of everything or whatever
yes,
the project is?
That, but yeah.